Very good. Good morning, brethren.
Good morning.
Yeah. It is a thing of joy that I'm able to meet with you today. So I bring you greetings of love from your brethren here in my class. And also, my wife, Sister Rosalind, and every member of my family, they've sent their love and greetings to you all. We thank our Heavenly Father for the privilege to be able to meet with the brethren through this medium in this difficult time of the global COVID-19 pandemic that has rendered movement between countries impossible. It reminds us of our Heavenly Father's assurances that whatever prevails, it has some benefits for us who love Him dearly. Romans 8, verse 28. Our topic of consideration this morning is one body by the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, 13. The theme of this convention is behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Psalm 133, verse 1. This theme alludes to the fact that a group of persons herein called brethren exists and that they harmoniously live together. And it is a thing that gladdens the heart of the beholders. Who then are the brethren? We examine the scriptures to find such a group of persons that conform to the description here given. And we find a beautiful reference to such a group in the words of our Lord Jesus Christ himself. Matthew chapter 23, verse 8. It says, but be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. This scripture is translated variously by different translators. For example, the English Standard Version, ESV, renders it, but you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brothers. The Living Translation, NLT, renders it, don't ever let anyone call you rabbi, for you have only one teacher, and all of you are on the same level as brothers and sisters. Whichever translation we choose to read from, it clearly points out that the Lord Jesus identifies his disciples as being brethren, brothers. The apostle also, speaking at various times, confirmed the term brethren to apply to the disciples of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 to 3, we read, and in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecian against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12, that's the apostles, called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, Look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. In Acts chapter 11, verse 1, we read, "And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God." Adding to this, in Acts chapter 20, verse 32, Apostle Paul speaking says, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." So, we can, without fear of contradiction, the disciples or followers of Jesus Christ by the term brethren. We are included in the group. You and I are included in the group. We who have accepted the invitation of the Lord Jesus, as stated in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, to be his disciples, are legitimately included in the brethren of Psalm 133, verse 1. To the uninformed, our claim that we are part of the group called brethren in our cited scriptures above will appear as a wild claim. How can we be included in a group that is made up of Jews? For that was the situation when Jesus spoke in Matthew and when the Acts of Apostles was recorded. We answer that the Apostle Paul gives a ready answer to this in our key text, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. "By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." The process of becoming part of the body known as brethren, it is through baptism of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the medium into which the consecrated followers of Jesus Christ are immersed. The Lord Jesus actually said this to the disciples before he ascended into heaven. The book of Acts, chapter 1, we read the B part of verse 4 and verse 5. He says, "Ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence." Baptism with the Holy Spirit begot faithful followers of Jesus Christ into a new life. The begetting takes place at the time of God's acceptance of the consecration of the individual who received the Holy Spirit as a seal or a token of adoption to membership of the family of God. In other words, it is the beginning of the new spiritual life the living of the Christ-like life, a new creature is begun. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. From God's prospective standpoint, the entire church of Christ, the body of Christ, was baptized by the Spirit at Pentecost. This Holy Spirit is termed variously as, for example, the Spirit of adoption, the Spirit of the living God, the Spirit of adoption, Romans 8:15, the Spirit of the living God, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3, the Spirit of Christ, 1 Peter 1, verse 11, the Spirit of truth, John 4, 7. There is therefore no necessity for a fresh outward demonstration of the Holy Spirit upon each individual who concentrates to do the will of the Father at this time, just like it happened during the Pentecost. The Apostle Paul wrote, "By one Spirit are we all baptized." And he explains that for the individual, this baptism occurs when one comes into the one body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:13. It is a burial of our will into the will of God as expressed through Christ, the head of the body. Matthew 16:24. Which says, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself." The denial is the submission, the bearing of our will, and take up his cross and follow. The one body. We came into this position of a place in the one body of Christ when we made our consecration and we were baptized, immersed into Christ by the Spirit, adopting us to membership of that body. Romans 8, verse 9. It is a baptism of submitting to God's will by the holy and mighty power of God's Spirit. As stated earlier, upon consecration, we were given the Holy Spirit by the Heavenly Father to adopt us into his family. In 1 Corinthians 12:13, Apostle Paul emphasizes the fact that each member of this one body is begotten of the same Holy Spirit, regardless of whether they be Jews or Gentiles, whether they be slaves or free. The same Holy Spirit that came upon the Lord Jesus at Jordan, Matthew 3, verse 16, and upon the disciples on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2, verses 1 to 4, as well as upon the household of Cornelius, the first Gentile, when Apostle Peter visited in Acts 10, verses 44 to 46, is received by every true disciple of the Lord thereafter. Apostle Paul further made this plain in Romans 12, verse 5. So we, though we are a number of persons, are one body in Christ and are dependent on one another. And in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27, now you are the body of Christ, and every one of you, the separate part of it. I take my reading from Bible in Basic English. The Apostle Paul also speaks of those who are spirit begotten as being anointed. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21-22, we read, "Now, he which establishes us with you in Christ and had anointed us is God, who had also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts." So the same anointing that our Lord experienced at Jordan, we experience. What it meant to him, it also means to us. Now, we shall take a look at the theme of this convention and relate it to this one body by the Spirit. We read Psalm 133 verse 1 again. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. We turn to Galatians chapter 3 and read from 26 to 29, where it is properly expressed. We read from Bible in Basic English. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who have been baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. In him, the distinction between Jews and Gentiles, slaves and free man, male and female, disappear. You are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are indeed the descendants of Abraham and are heirs in fulfillment of the promise. From this reading, we note the following relationship as members of the one body by the one Spirit. We are all sons of God, for all of us have been baptized into Christ by the Spirit. And so, we are all one in Christ Jesus. And we are heirs in fulfillment of the promise. The Lord Jesus states this pictorially, making it very clear. In John chapter 15, verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that dwelleth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. This picture of unity is carried forward in Acts chapter 2, verse 44. And all that believed were together and had all things in common. This tells us why they dwell together in unity, because they are begotten of the same Holy Spirit which works in them all. Commenting on this relationship of the members of the one body, Brother Russell says that after being illuminated by the Holy Spirit, the desire to be in each other's company, to live together as one family, manifesting an unselfish, loving spirit. Selfishness gave place to love and general interest. Reprint 1861, 2090, and page 474 of Volume 4. Apostle Paul speaks on what the effect of the Spirit on the members of the one body should be in 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Brother Russell comments on this when he says, the early church had a grand unity of sentiments. Reprint 14:21. Then he counseled us that all who are speaking and teaching should speak and teach the same thing. We should all mind the same thing. Philippians 3, verse 16. You will find this in reprint 4446. 4446. In conclusion, brethren, we will turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4, where Apostle Paul speaks of one body, one spirit, and one hope. The spirit, of course, is the Holy Spirit, the one that joins us to Jesus and to one another, making us from different backgrounds able to live together as we strive with his help to maintain this unity. The one body is the unified community of the baptized, which includes both those living today and those already enjoying being with Christ since his second presence in 1874. And the one hope is that hope of glory, honor, and immortality expressed in Romans 2, verse 7, as well as 2 Peter 1, verse 4. The exceeding great and precious promises of the divine nature. Brethren, let this understanding be a motivating factor daily for each and every one of us as we press on. Like I will always say, nothing should distract us, knowing that we have received the earnest of the Spirit of God and that we have set our hands on the plow. There's no looking back here and there. Call to the other brothers and sisters, let us go on, but never turn back. I thank you for your attention. Thank you.